Good. Second time's a charm. Kids aren't yelling at this moment.
Wait for it.
Well, the wife's not home, so she can't throw a damper on it. So
they're just footloose and fancy free.
Correct.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So let's do a long episode.
No, we're gonna keep this one to a tight 5.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to episode 388 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me as always is
Adam in Vancouver.
In rainy Vancouver.
Yep. I think this weekend, nothing but rain. There's your weather update, people.
There it is. Write it down.
Yeah.
Planning on heading to Vancouver today. Raining.
Yeah. Yeah.
So... Don't
do it. Stay away.
All right. What's going on, Adam?
Oh, a little update on my metal prints that I made from Costco.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you got them back.
Yeah, they are phenomenal. They are
really.
They are amazing. They did such a good job. I could not be happier. $30 well spent. I bought two. One of the picture of Jack I took earlier in the season when I just got that fantastic light. I used it on a previous photo challenge. I bragged about it. I think it lived up to the hype.
Yeah.
The print could not have been better. It's so good. It might be my favorite print that I have hanging in my house right now.
Wow. Guess what everybody's getting for Christmas this year.
Yeah, metal prints, $30 Costco. If you missed the previous episode, it's a new thing. You have to do it at the Costco online. You can't do it in store, but amazing. I made one for my mom for Mother's Day of the kids that I took out for a special photo, and that one turned out great as well. Yes, amazing quality at a bargain price. So there's your commercial for Costco for this week.
Yeah. Let's approach them, see if they want to be sponsors.
Yeah. And again, I think it's an 11 by 14 size. So again, for $30, it's kind of got a glossy finish, which sometimes I'm not sure about glossy finishes, but they look amazing. So such a good deal.
Nice.
Yeah. I hope the price doesn't go up in the near future.
Well, after you bragging about it like that, yeah, it might.
It might. Yeah. No, very worth your money. Anybody who has a Costco nearby who's on the fence about trying this, again, it's the cost of a frame and you don't need one, well worth the $30. You will be amazed, and hopefully if you have a good photo, it will be an even better photo once printed.
Nice. Awesome.
That's it. Oh, and I made I think I might have mentioned in the last couple of weeks that I was making baseball cards for the kids, and this year I decided to do it at Staples. Did we talk about this at all?
No.
Okay, so Staples, never having done this before at Staples, someone who I know who has a printing business, he recommended that I do baseball cards at Staples. And then he also suggested laminating them, which is something I've never done in the past. Usually I put them in card sleeves.
Sure.
But anyway, so he suggested laminating them, just having done them in the past. He said that Staples does a great job. It's quick. You can have it done while you're there. And I did all of this last weekend at Staples, and they turned out great at basically about a dollar a card, a little less than a dollar a card, which...
And
which
then is, both sides?
Yeah, both sides.
Oh,
and
wow.
Yeah, so I printed them double-sided on like a kind of a cardstock, the thickest they could do.
Wait. So they printed them on both sides, or you did it and glued them?
No. They printed double-sided. So you
get
can only
out.
You can only go so thick on the paper.
Right.
In order to print double-sided color, but the printing double-sided color, very inexpensive. And then because I wanted kind of a thicker type card feel, then I laminated them. So the only problem, or not even problem, the only challenge with this is that if you're doing a team full of kids and each page, I printed six cards per player, because that's what fit nicely onto a sheet.
Right.
So So I didn't even have to do a template or anything. They did it all at the store. So I just got the front and back images, brought it to them. They pulled it up on their computer. They sized it accordingly, printed 6 cards a sheet, front and back. And then I had to cut them all out. So with the paper cutter at the store, which again, to be super precise, takes some time. And then once they're cut out, then they put 6 on a sheet, laminate them, and then you have to cut them out again. The lady felt so bad for me after I spent about an hour at the cutting station cutting them all out. She cut the laminated ones out for me, and and it was awesome. And so all in for a team of 8 players, it was roughly $40. I think just over $40, all said and done, which isn't a fantastic value. I think at $5 a player to have a set of 6 cards each, they can give grandparents.
Well, plus your time, so your hourly rate, so it's about $700 a kid.
Yeah, exactly. So about $700. But yeah, if you're before when I was printing these kind of on photos, and then I was cutting them out, and then I was gluing them together, like much more of a hassle. This was just
so they print 6 onto one page.
Yeah,
and on the back, and they line up.
Oh yeah, they lined up all within a millimeter. So there's a tiny white edge on the side on a few of them on the back. But
on again, your kids? On Jack's?
I think on I'd say half of all the cards. Like, because it's not a within a millimeter, it's pretty darn good, and I'm not gonna lose any sleep about it. I just made sure that the fronts were all cut out perfectly because I cared more about the front of the card than I did about the back of the card and the team on the back.
Gotcha.
So anyways, very, very happy. And with them laminated, they're basically bulletproof. So I can just hand the kids those, and then I'm not
worried
about
them. Don't try them out, though.
With bullets?
Yeah.
Okay, I won't.
Like, just assume. Let's just assume they're bulletproof.
Right.
And then not really field test it.
Yeah. And one of my challenges in the past is I'd make all these cards, and then I put them in this card sleeves, and I'd hand them to the kids. And within about, I don't know, 3.5 seconds, half of them would be out of the sleeves, and they're completely, mm-hmm. you know, tarnishing my hard work with all their fingerprints. So that's why when the guy said, just laminate them and then forget about the card sleeves, I was like, good point. I think that's going to work. And again, cannot mm-hmm. believe how good they look laminated. So I'm very happy. Very happy.
So this is the one we're looking at right here.
Well, I put the front of one of the cards, the one of Jack, which I'd used the photo of Jack. I'd brought it up in a previous show, and I just showed how it looked with the card that I made, which was a 1987 Topps baseball card template.
Are you sure it's from the 80s?
It is definitely from the 80s. Yeah.
The only way it could be more 80s is if there was cocaine on it.
Yeah. I specifically collected this set when I was 11 years old, so that's why I kind of went with this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It spoke to me.
I don't remember the multicolored future stars.
Bo Jackson, he was a future star that year.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of the other ones. There's a handful.
Bo Jackson,
of,
that name doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah. So he was with the future stars in this particular set. But anyways, it was again a specific card that spoke to me. That's why I went with this. Plus, I just love the super ugly retro look to it. And
it's ugly. All right.
Yeah. So I appreciated that. And that's why I decided on this one this year. I've tried to mix it up and go with different sort of designs.
In 1989, I think I told this story on the show before, but in 1989, I did sit front row at Anaheim Stadium.
Okay.
I forget what it was called back then. If it was called Anaheim, Angel Stadium, whatever it was.
Sure.
They had the All-Star game that year, and the day before they had the home run contest, and for $5 I got a front row seat. Like literally front row, first row one behind like by third base. First base, I'm sorry, and watched Bo Jackson in the home run contest.
Did he win the home run contest?
It was different back then. I think it was like a team thing or something, but he definitely won it because he hit some balls so hard and far. It was ridiculous.
Nice.
Yeah. And then he's facing Eric Davis and Glenn Davis and other guys. And Kevin Mitchell, who was having a big year that year.
Oh, yeah. I remember Kevin Mitchell.
31 home runs by the break, and then 16 to go out. Uh-oh. And then probably killed his girlfriend's cat, according to the story. True story. That's a true story. Yeah, I wish I hadn't known that. But anyways, yeah, 89, Bo Jackson. Good.
Okay.
All right.
That's it. That's all I got. That's interesting. Yeah.
I have an update that's okay. It might blow your mind.
Okay, I'm ready.
Are you ready?
I'm sure I'm ready.
I bought an iPhone today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And you did the buy it outright and then you'll just deal with the plan on your own?
Yeah, well, it's almost free here in Germany.
Like, iPhones are?
No, well, no, but the plans, I don't know what plans cost. I honestly have no, I have not had a cell phone in 10 years.
Okay.
And then,
Okay, so before, I don't really care about the plans and whatnot. What made you decide to suddenly buy an iPhone?
Spite.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Spite for Samsung?
Nope. No. Just, I don't know. iPhone specifically, because I use Apple stuff. And so it just dovetailed nicely. But the cell phone was purely out of spite. Just because of my wife. My wife is a bit of a, she freaks out. I don't know. I feel like I have a rich, I have a solid 44 plus year streak of not being dead in a ditch.
Right. Right.
Like I just, every day I keep that streak alive.
Right.
And so you'd think, like, if you're betting on will Alan be dead in a ditch tomorrow?
Right.
The smart money's on no.
Okay.
However,
this is the argument you used with her.
This is the argument she used with, no, I didn't even bother using, I didn't get to that argument.
Okay.
Because it was a situation of, I ended up, I was at baseball, long story, you don't need to hear the details. See, I'd taken a bike, I rode my first e-bike. It's a big day. I rode my first e-bike yesterday.
Okay.
Which I'll get to in a second. And then anyway, I got caught in a rainstorm. So I decided, I'm just going to wait till the thunder and lightning go. I don't want to be the guy who gets hit by lightning on an e-bike. Like, that sounds like an awesome origin story if I'm a superhero.
Okay.
But probably want to avoid getting hit by lightning. True or false?
Right. True.
True. So when you sit there, like, all right, I'll just wait till the lightning storm passes, which took a while. And then I came home and, well, I don't know if you're dead in a ditch, you know, that old rap. And so I was like, well, once again, 44 consecutive years of not being dead in a ditch.
Right.
But not being dead nor in a ditch. I don't know that I've been alive in a ditch.
Right.
In the last 10 years.
Okay.
There's a couple incidences a few years ago, but that's a different story. Anyways, so I said, fine, just bit of a blow up. I won't lie to you. And today I just went, just out of spite, just went and bought an iPhone. So there you go.
So which one did you get?
Well, I got the iPhone, the SE.
I don't know what that is.
It's kind of the iPhone Lite. It's like a retro kind of looking smaller. It's a very small iPhone. Everything's big now. Like, oh man, we're making the biggest iPhone possible. It's a drive-in movie right in your pocket, right?
Right.
But I don't want that. So essentially, they say it's like the iPhone. Essentially, it's the equivalent of the iPhone 6S, but it's called the iPhone SE. It was $300, which I found reasonable. I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, that's reasonable. I think the new one, the 10, is about, I don't know, over $1,000.
It's 1,100 euros here, which is wildly expensive in Canadian dollars.
Yeah.
And which I pay euros. But anyway, so I just said for $300. And so I happened to talk to Chris Marquardt, which we'll actually get to later. And I said, hey, man, any reason I shouldn't get one of these? And he said, no, get one. If you're getting one, get one of those. They're great. It's more than you need. I don't need all the fancy bells and whistles.
Sure.
I'm just a whistle guy. So this one has the whistles.
Awesome.
And so I honestly don't care. I mean, when it comes to spite, it's more so just the spite factor.
Yeah, I have an iPhone. I'm still rocking an iPhone 5S and it does everything I need and more. So
yeah,
I'm with you on, I did mine on a contract, like, I don't know, 4 years ago. And then when the contract ended, I was like, yeah, I'm good. I'll run this thing until it completely dies.
Okay. So now, when you go to get, again, I've never had a smartphone before. I've never had a plan. And I hear people in Canada saying, oh man, it's so expensive. What does a plan cost? Ballpark.
I don't know. We recently re-upped with a new one and it was significantly cheaper than they were a couple years ago. But because we get some kind of deal, because it's again tied into everything else that we have with the same company. So it's I don't know offhand because it's discounted because our cable and our home phone and everything. Yeah. So
give me a number.
I can't answer that for you. I don't know because we have a family plan too with me and Lisa. So I don't really know.
Okay. So this one's got, I don't know what it does. It's just something like you get like 100 minutes or something.
Yeah, there's kind of a standard. Yeah, I'm
not going to talk on the phone. Yeah, it's going to be data. I'm just going to do texting only.
Sure.
And, you know, Tinder, obviously. And, and whatnot. And so
we have kind of the base level talk and then we have a bunch of data.
Yeah. So you have 100, I think this deal is you get 100 minutes and then you get 1.5 gig of data, I think, for the month.
We have a lot more data than that only because the cost of data has gone so far down that they just keep giving it to you. So I think we're up to about 6 gigs of data, which I basically use none. And Lisa uses whatever 5 gigs of data a month. So, that didn't really matter to me, but yes, I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
And then this is all, and then like if you're in this, like this certain plan, everybody, all your friends who are on this plan, it's just free data and texting and whatever to that person.
Right. Okay.
Like, sure. So if you're in that network, it's free talking, free whatever, free texting, but then, so all of that was $8.
Yeah. It's definitely much more than that here.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I guess what I'm getting at is that for $8 for Spite, I think is a reasonable price.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
The downside for you is, you're going to have to respond to all of your wife's texts now within 3.5 seconds.
I'm going to respond 3 to 4 times.
Okay.
Like I am going to ramp this up. Like we should not have opened Pandora's box.
Right.
Like it's about to get ugly.
Still not in a ditch.
That's why we do a show.
Right.
Together, you and me, because that's exactly, I'm going to have that, like, I'm pretty sure you can just save, like, texts, like, you can, like, put, like, if you hold the number one down, it'll do, like, a pre-done text or something.
Sure.
That's going to be it, still not in the ditch. Like, between 30 seconds and 3 minutes, she's going to get a text saying, still not in a ditch.
Yeah, and the beauty is too, it starts to recognize patterns in what you type for text. So if you, within 1.5 days, by the time you type the letter S, it'll fill in the still not in a ditch part.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to automate it so it can just, I can just leave it at home and let it just do it. Let's just fire it off every 2 minutes. So,
perfect.
So listen up, ladies, newly single.
Yeah. Yeah.
Soon to be single, Alan. Oh, yeah.
She'll love it.
Yeah. I don't know. All right. But anyway, here's the thing about that though.
Okay.
I don't think my phone's waterproof.
Okay.
So if I'm actually in that ditch, how am I going to text? And if I'm dead, who's going to do the texting if I'm dead in the ditch?
That's right. That's a good question.
So somebody else is going to have to do that.
Yeah.
So listen, what I'm saying is if you're listening and you come across me laying dead in a ditch, grab my phone, text my wife. She'll want to know immediately. it'll help.
Okay.
Yeah. There's not even ditches here.
Okay.
I mean, you know, imagine if I was in Richmond in the 70s. That I can get the dead in the ditch part. All right.
This took a turn for the little bit awkward.
The macabre.
Yeah. Dark. It's a dark episode.
If you need to buy a ditch, buy one on Amazon, click through our site and help us out. That's late in the episode to get to that.
They probably have ditch digging tools though, for sure.
I did check out all the iPhones and stuff. Way more expensive than buying them in the store here.
Okay.
I think they wanted like 400 euros and they had them on sale for 320 over here. 319 I bought.
There you go. It was, you were saving money.
That's how I look at it.
Okay.
All right. I don't know. I don't like who I am now, though. I can't be. At least, I mean, I actually did not like. I enjoyed not having a cell phone. I enjoyed being that guy.
Yeah.
I didn't enjoy being that guy at parties when they're like, what do you mean you don't have a phone? And I'm like, I'm not that guy. Like I'm not super proud of it guy. I would like to just quietly be that guy, but you can't quietly be that guy. People want to know, why don't you have a phone?
Right.
But, now I'm no longer that guy. So that's good. The good news is I no longer have to be that, douchey guy at the party.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll be the douchey guy texting at the party, though. I won't be having to ask for your Wi-Fi password, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Why do all your texts say, still not in a ditch?
Still not in a ditch. You know what? That is going to be at the end of every, you know how you can send out, like it says sent from my iPhone?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm changing it to still not in a ditch. Good job, Adam.
Nice.
Quick baseball update. We split last weekend. That was a rough day.
Uh-oh.
They're a very good team. Like, this is probably the second place team. And they came out gunning for us, but we lost in the eighth inning. Very upsetting. Lost 7-6. Ran into a little trouble, a little pitching trouble, but kind of a standard thing. It happens.
Okay.
But good news is my bat came. I found my bat. So
that's good.
Had a 6-hit day, tied my personal best, and the team record for hits in a doubleheader is 6, and so
nice,
which I set last year, and on the same day as another guy set, like me and our center fielder both had 6 hits that day.
Okay,
and then last Sunday I had 6 hits, and our shortstop also had 6 hits.
Okay, did you have 6 hits with an AB where you had a chance to break the record?
No. I was coming out. There was two out in the fifth inning. We played with the second game. So first game, we lost 7-6 in 9 innings. We played nine innings the first game. Second game is a 7-inning game. And if you're leading by 10 after 5, you shut it down.
Right.
So I was coming up in the top of the fifth. We're up 14-0. And with two out, and I was on deck, and the guy in front of me flied out.
Oh.
So I was upset.
Yeah, you had a chance.
Well, because nobody had realized. Like I kind of had a quiet 6 hits up to that point. Like they're all one was actually terrible. One was I'll be honest. One was I was trying to foul off a 2-strike pitch and just keep hitting, and it ended up flaring over the first baseman for a base hit.
Gotcha.
But the other 5 were legit, so it was a good day. But it was a pretty quiet 6 hits, and so no one realized I was up for the record. And so the guy who had 6 hits, he had flied out just before that and said, oh, man, I just missed it. I just missed the record. And I didn't have the heart to tell him that I'm about to break it.
And the best part was, too, and if you had gotten up in a 14-0 game, probably not seeing their best pitching.
At that point, we had knocked their best pitching out, yeah.
Right. So this was a prime opportunity to break the record.
Yeah, but I don't know.
I'm pretty sure an outfielder wouldn't have made a diving grab.
Oh, possible. Well, you never know. You never know. I tend to actually, in all honesty, I tend to hit better off the better, not the great pitchers, but like the better pitchers, because I focus a little bit more.
Okay. But the record, you would have focused for the record.
I was focusing for the record. Yeah. Yeah. I kind of wanted the record because we had the first base dugout. So I was, if I got the hit, I was just going to turn and run sideways and flash the 7 to the dugout.
Okay. Like a jerk. Here's how I'm going to counter your story. Last week I was playing the video game MLB The Show 2018. No, I'm 1,000% serious right now. I was in double A ball. I was 4-for-4 with 4 home runs coming up with my 5th at bat, and the announcer announced that nobody in professional baseball has ever hit 5 home runs in a game.
That's correct.
And then I flew out to right field in my last at bat.
Oh, yeah. Hitting left-handed?
Yep, hitting left-handed. So there you go. So I'm pretty sure my story, you know, matches your story.
That's a tie.
Yeah, it's a tie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was focused. I was really focused.
Oh, obviously, it's never been done. I mean, yeah. Willie Mays came close, but
I got super excited when he said that. I was like, okay, here's my chance. I was only in double A ball, though, so.
Still, I don't play double A ball, so yeah. Still pretty good. Still pretty good.
All right.
All right. Oh, real quick. Wow, we're taking forever on this show. Quick update. The photo challenge for June is postcard of your town. #2hosersmonthlychallenge or #who Two Hosers on Instagram, which I'm going to be all over now. Now that I have a phone, I'll be Instagramming all over the place.
Sure.
And anyway, but we'll post them on there with those hashtags. We'll check them out. And I wanted to do a honorable mention for Paul, who actually plays on my team, who submitted his photo challenge last week, literally minutes after we had recorded.
Okay.
So still in June. So it should have been in May, Paul. But I said I appreciated it, so I was going to do a quick honorable mention. So I put that in the Dropbox. I'm sure you can see it. It looks a little football-y to me.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Especially that's a catcher mask.
Exactly. I know it's the catcher's mask, but the focus being on a mask, you don't generally associate with baseball, even though I knew it was mm-hmm. baseball, and I knew that's kind of the look of the new catcher's masks these days. But the carrying the helmet in sort of the foggy, misty scenario just, again, spoke more football than baseball to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if he was holding a bat or a glove and it was obvious that that's what he was holding, I think it would be different.
It's pretty cool. I don't know if that's water that he's got flaring on there or what. I actually haven't talked to him yet to figure out
looks
what that
like,
is.
Like maybe a sprinkler is going or something.
We don't have a sprinkler, unfortunately. We do have a hose, so it could be someone spraying the hose.
Okay, because it's way too clear at the bottom of the frame.
Yeah, all I know is that she needs to shave her legs.
Sure.
That would I'll talk to her about that. But
okay, all right.
No, that's actually someone on our team, on the guys' team, in all fairness. But overall, I like what's going on here. Like, I like the sort of burned out kind of colors and the lens, sort of lens flary look, the sure. backlighting. And all that. So, but be on time next time, Paul. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
He said he would be. He said he's on it for next week.
Gotcha.
All right. Did you shoot anything interesting? I did not.
Nope, I did not.
Good, because we don't have time for that anyways.
Okay.
Turns out. Right into the photo challenge then.
All right.
All right. It was colorful. You decided it was colorful.
Yep.
Which actually, looking at your son's card, that's colorful. Just the sure. Future Stars part's colorful.
Yeah, I know. I considered it, but then I thought because I did that well in advance of this photo challenge being issued, it was a bit of a cheat if I used that.
Yeah, especially since you issued it. So, all right, let's have a look at yours. Your daughter and her Jackson Pollock painting.
Yeah. So this was her. I want to say maybe a 7th or 8th birthday party that she had one of those splatter paint parties where all her and her friends just huck paint against a giant canvas. Mm-hmm. And then of course, as the parents, you have the option to then have that canvas stretched and pulled over a frame so you can take home, which a 7-year-old begs you to do. And you say, I guess it's your birthday. We'll do that. So she right. has this giant sort of panoramic stretched out canvas that she did at her birthday. And I walked into her room in the evening with the light coming in from her window. And I thought, hey, that's going to work perfect. So I took a picture of the canvas and then I thought, well, that's not much of a photo. And then I asked if she would participate. And so she just stood her in front of it, used the window light to light. You see, obviously, the window light is coming in sort of camera left and behind her. So you see how it lights up the canvas camera left. And then mm-hmm. the light obviously falls off as it comes across her face. And so it's just based on where it's hanging, using the available light, and took the shot. This took about 10 seconds and we were done. Took 3 snaps, changed her head position a little bit, and that's it.
Love it. I how do you argue with window light?
Yeah, it's good. And the light happened to be in a nice spot for this photo too.
Right.
Yeah. And good, good time of day, all of those things.
85 mil on the 5D Classic?
No, this is a 70 to 200 on the 6D.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Way
just
off.
Just because that was what was on the camera and I grabbed it and the camera battery was not charged on the 5D because the battery mm-hmm. discharges really quickly. So This is what we were going with. I would have probably gone 85, although I like the 70 to 200 here, especially where I took this photo because I could back up and then kind of in camera, zoom it into the composition that I wanted. So mm-hmm. I was really happy with how it turned out.
The flexibility is nice on that. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So there you go.
I think this is a shot you could do in the future, except for you take the time to actually splatter her and have her sort of be camouflaged and make it all artsy.
Oh, that would be awesome. I did not think mm-hmm. of that, but that would actually be really good.
Don't sound so surprised. I get the occasional good idea.
But, yeah, no, that's a really good idea. And
except for that, that's a lot more effort than 10 seconds.
Well, and I don't know. I mean, she'd either be really into that or really not into that.
I think if you make it sound like it was her idea,
yeah,
she'd be really into it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know how it works. How is she like 10, right?
She just turned 11.
She's 11. And so I find with my kids, they're still younger. So they're like, you know, 6 and younger. And I still find like if I do this little move to them, I'll pull out the, oh, I have an idea. Oh, you know what? Forget it. Nah, it's not good. It's not good. Forget it. No. Forget. I don't want to. And then, okay, fine. I'll tell them. And yeah, let's do it. That still works.
I don't know if that's gonna work, but I'll try it.
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna work. 11's pretty sophisticated. They're gonna be like, come on, Dad. I googled that. That's not a thing.
Yeah. Probably.
I googled that on my family phone plan.
Guess what the photo is actually going to be? It's going to be a selfie of me with splatter paint all over myself.
Yeah. That'll be good, though.
It's probably not going to be so good, yeah.
Oh, no. I'll you know what? I'll green light that.
You'll like it on your Instagram?
Yeah. Well, I like everything on Instagram now. Yeah. All right. No, very, very good. Very, it is very colorful, which is,
And I had a hard time white balancing it because her room is pink. And so when that light hits the wall, because again, this is like at 8:15 or something. So light is pouring in a room and it's an orange light mixed with pink walls all around her. Really, really challenging to get the white balance. So I kind of tried to get the skin tones and then I just gave up and said, this is as close as I'm going to get.
Oh, yeah. No, I've been there. That's no fun. Yeah.
Pink walls, not a good choice.
Yeah, but she likes them.
She likes them, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's have a look at mine. This is very colorful. I went with the this week's cover for the magazine, our Game Day magazine.
Okay.
So,
you're allowed to promote drinking on your Game Day magazine?
We're in Germany.
Okay, I guess that's probably.
And we're adults. Are we promoting drinking? I don't know. There's no label on that.
That's true. I'm going to guess that's beer, though.
That is beer. Well, the whole point is that it's a stubby, man. It's retro. It's retro with Bob and Doug McKenzie.
And I like the fact that it says the Hawks' newest hoser.
Thank you. See, this is the creative process is difficult because I don't actually print the Game Day magazines. I put myself in charge of doing the cover, and that's it. So we have a guy who handles the rest of it. So I just basically send him. So I sent him about 9 different final versions of this and kept changing it. And so the 8th version did not have the apostrophe on Hawks. Is that the Harvard? What is it? What are they called? Oh, the Oxford apostrophe. I forget what it's called. But I thought, oh no, if I get the apostrophe wrong, Adam is going to have a field day.
No, I don't really care, so.
Yeah, but you still, anytime you can get one over on me.
Okay.
Although I guess you never would have noticed, but no. Anyways. You know the kicker for me is that Braden here, he's 19 years old, had no idea who Bob and Doug McKenzie were.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I had to show him some clips on YouTube, and even then he was like, "What is that? Was that was on TV? That was a thing."
What about the 12 Beers of Christmas or whatever?
Yeah, I didn't have the heart to go upstairs and get my album, which I do have, thanks to Don Komarechko of all people. He did send me the album a few years ago, so I do have it. I had it on CD, of course, but he sent me the vinyl. Anyways, yeah, I wanted to introduce, we did a couple years ago, the other Canadian, Alex and I, the starting pitcher, we were on together doing the Straight Out of Canada cover.
Right.
So I was thinking about, you know, we'd do another one with all 3 of us Canadians, but I thought, no, we've already done the cover, let's give him his own, introduce him, and so went with that sort of theme, the newest hoser.
Gotcha. No, I like it. It looks good. The photo's good, too.
And I wasn't sure if I was in love with the specular highlights on the bottle. Like you can see both umbrellas in there, but really that's nitpicking.
Yeah, no, it doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah, and then I did peel the label off because I didn't think, you know, I wanted it to look like old time, you know, Molson Canadian. Not quite. It's a little different. It's got that little extra flourish in the bottle. It's not quite the stubby. But getting an old Molson Canadian bottle from the 80s, early 80s was tough over here.
Yeah.
And so I went with the brand called Stempel and then pulled it off. And then added in, I think it's clear to you that that's the map of Canada in behind.
Sure.
Okay. Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not sure if it's clear to everybody. I'm sure I'll have to answer a bunch of questions at the game tomorrow, but.
Okay. Yeah. Nobody knows what Canada looks like from a map. Another hot move here that I noticed is, I mean, clearly the toque or beanie or whatever you want to call it, depending on where you are in the world, the hat that the player is wearing is a great choice for this situation when you want to cut them out. So you took all the work on hair out of the equation. Otherwise this situation with his arm in front of his body, everything here makes cutting this out very easy.
Relatively speaking, absolutely it does. And that wasn't really my main choice. I mean, I wanted him to wear a toque just because of the joke, the Bob and Doug McKenzie, Great White North joke. But it also did make it infinitely easier to cut him out because
I
don't have a green
too.
Screen.
And also just his arm and his placement with the beer, like just great, great choice. I mean, I'm assuming that was intentional because that really cuts down the post-production time.
I also made him shave his arms.
Even better. Yeah. Yeah. No, you did that virtually. You digitally shaved them.
No. Physically shave the hair. Here, get some Nair and we're gonna shave 5 minutes off my workday and just Nair your arms. So there you go. So anyways, awesome. that's this week's coverage. Just very, very simple lighting, like just essentially side to side clamshell lighting, which you can see in his eyes. You can see the catch lights.
Yeah.
One a little higher, one a little bit lower, and then like probably like a 3-to-1 ratio, something like that. Like 2.5 stops difference, something like that. And that's it. Keep it very simple. Just shot against the gray wall, which I cut out, so it didn't matter. And just put him up right against the wall. It didn't matter how far he was because I knew I was going to cut it out, so shadows weren't an issue. Mm-hmm. And then at the last second, added the gradient in below. It was going to be a straight red wall. And then I just said, you know, something's not working. So I added that red-white gradient background instead of the red.
Okay.
Which actually makes a big difference. All right. Topic this week. As mentioned earlier, I talked to Mr. Marquardt. He just got back from New York City.
Okay.
No, I was hoping you're going to make the same bad joke I made to Chris, to Chris that he did not get.
Okay. What's the joke?
New York City.
Oh.
Okay, never mind. You don't remember that commercial for Pace Picante sauce. Okay.
No, I don't.
Neither did Chris. anyways, he just got back from New York City doing a tilt shift workshop, and we talked a little bit about that, and we've talked about tilt shift with him before on the show, but it's a little bit different. Things have changed a little bit. Canon's embraced it a bit more, and we talked a little bit about what is tilt shift, why it's cool, and whatnot. And so let's hear that interview with Chris and I.
All right, you go.
No, Ed, you're the guest. We're starting the show now.
Oh, we're recording.
We're on. Hello, Chris Marquardt.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good, how are you? You're in Chris Marquardt in Hanover.
Chris Marquardt in the Viewfinder Villa in Hanover.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You name everything.
We have a name for the place we live and work, yes.
Is there a top floor on the...
Oh, there is, but I'm on the ground floor. I've totally given up on the top floor thing.
Uh-huh. Because?
Because it's nicer down here.
Sure.
It's my studio / office, and it's the desk needs some working on, especially the contents of it. But yeah, it's a great place here. We do workshops here. We live here. It's
do you it's are you are you? I know you do workshops there, but do you live there? Are you ever there anymore?
Yes, I am.
But you?
Oh, definitely am. I mean, it's interesting because the schedule on my workshop side kind of looks like I'm not there at all. But if you look at the actual dates, it's a week here, it's a week there, mm-hmm. and it's not. I'm here quite often. Yes.
but also no flies on you. I'm looking at your schedules. I'm seeing your Twitter feed, your Instagram or Facebook or whatever it is. I don't like to call it social media, but you know what I'm talking about. Your online life. You seem to be everywhere.
That's the impression one could get. Yes.
Okay. Where have you been?
This year I've been on a ship in the Arctic, but that was not a photo tour. That was just myself, and I've just returned from New York City.
That really chaps my hide.
Does it?
No, that's an old ad from. America.
No one's getting that. No, so, how could I?
What were you doing in New York City?
I was holding a workshop. I was invited by Canon to hold a workshop, a weekend-long workshop in the city about tilt-shift photography. So my cunning plan has finally come to fruition to become somewhat known as someone who has an idea about what tilt shift is, and I've been shooting with tilt shift lenses forever.
Yeah,
we almost ten years now, and I understand them. I know what to do with them, and I've been teaching that stuff. I've been talking about it relentlessly, and yeah. And then Canon and I came together because Canon has a nice lineup of tilt shift lenses, so it's an important topic for them.
I think you're selling yourself short. Is that I am not by any means an expert at tilt shift, but I know what to do with them in the standard sense. I think you take it to the next level, though.
Well, tilt shift is in most people's minds. Tilt shift is this miniature effect thing that you can see on the commercials sometimes, and that's one thing you can do with them, but that is by far not the only thing there. I usually say tilt shift lenses are like 10 lenses in one. You can do things you can't do with any other lens. But first of all, a tilt shift lens is always a very, very sharp, very high quality prime lens. So there are no zoom tilt shifts, they are prime lenses, and they are just super sharp.
That's okay. Why is that?
Well, because they have a bigger image circle, and you're just looking at the center of that. So, if you don't shift and don't tilt, you're looking in the middle of an image circle that is huge.
Right.
And the you're pretty much cutting out the sweet spot in the middle. So that's one thing. If I need a very super sharp, like a 24 millimeter prime lens, then that's my go-to. Then the shift part, by the way, tilt and shift part are two completely different things. Mm-hmm. They don't have to be in one lens. It's just the way they build them. So let's look at the shift part. The shift part is this perspective correction. Or exaggeration. So you have if you stand in front of a building and you want to get the entire building in the frame, you would normally tilt the camera back.
Well, that's traditionally, I mean, as I understand it, that is why tilt shift lenses were first conceived of.
They were
keep building straight.
Yeah, and the whole thing comes from field cameras, from technical cameras, large format cameras with their bellows, and where you could move the lens independently from the rest. So that's the origin of that. But then they put this in a smaller package for more flexible, portable use. And this is one of the things an architecture photographer will use, one of these lenses, because they can get a building onto the frame without falling lines, without converging lines, without having to step back half a mile.
Mm-hmm.
So you get this. You get this correction, and the result are very tidy photos, very professional-looking photos. It's very simple to do those with a shift lens. So that is another thing they can do. Then the shift will also allow you to emphasize parts of the frame. You have this gets a bit technical, but have you ever shot with a really wide-angle lens?
Yes, I have.
And have you moved the lens so far to the side that your subject is at the edge of the frame?
Indeed.
What happens to the subject?
It gets distorted. They look like Jimmy Durante, yeah.
That, like, if you have some, if you take a portrait with a, let's say you have a 14 millimeter lens and you take someone's portrait mm-hmm. and you put their head to the side of the frame, they will have an egg head. It will be really stretched out. But you can use that. Shift lens works the same way. It's a super wide angle lens in disguise, pretty much. And by shifting that image circle to the edge, you can put your subject at the edge, or you can put some part of the frame towards the edge, and that will stretch it out. So if you have an interesting foreground, you can use that to stretch out the foreground even more mm-hmm. and emphasize it this way. It works really well in landscapes. I wouldn't use it for portraiture, at least not in that capacity. But it's really an interesting way to emphasize, for example, parts of a building. I've used this in the Moscow subway, which is has some beautiful ceilings, and just to bring out one of those ceilings a bit more. So emphasis, perspective correction, emphasis. Next thing is you can use them as panorama lenses. Imagine you... But what happens when you normally shoot a panorama? You take a shot, you turn the camera, you take a shot, you turn the camera. So you always have different angles mm-hmm. That you're looking at what you're shooting. And that means that your stitching software, Lightroom or whatever you use, to stitch those together will have to bend all those images and make them fit somehow. So there's a lot of geometric distortion going on in the software. With a shift lens, you can just parallel shift those individual photos, and then they will just seamlessly fit together. If you do that from a tripod, you have a panorama that doesn't need any math and no geometrical bending, and they will just fall in place pretty much. You can just put them on, like if you use Affinity Photo or Photoshop, you put them on three layers and you just shift them until they fit, and that's it.
Right.
So super simple. The images don't have to be mangled by the software.
Which I've seen. I kind of stopped shooting those. I was shooting them for a while. I enjoyed. I think we talked many episodes ago about a method I invented.
Yeah.
That turns out I did not. It was already invented years prior.
Mm-hmm.
Called the Brennizer method, and Ryan came on the show and told us all about how he actually invented it first. Very gracious. But,
you had Brennizer himself on the show?
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah, he did.
You have to give me the link to that episode.
Okay, I'll put it up in the show notes. It was a couple years ago at this point. We talked on one of our episodes. I talked with Adam and said, you know, hey, I this is something I invented. And, you know, I wasn't so much that I invented it, but I did pioneer it in my own bubble.
Mm-hmm.
Unbeknownst to me, it had already been invented and was already out there. I just hadn't heard of it. But that whole stitching thing, and so I run into the stitching issue sometimes, what you're describing with that distortion, and then basically I just scrap the panorama. So you're telling me tilt shift is the way to go.
The shift part doesn't really matter in that respect. The shift part, well, it's not the way to go, but it'll make it easier. So that's one function that lens can help you with. And now we come to the tilt part, where you don't parallel shift the lens, but you tilt it. So mm-hmm. you're looking through the lens, and it's not parallel anymore to the camera. It's just either tilted forwards or backwards or sideways. And that has an influence on your focal plane, which is normally parallel to the camera, right?
Right.
The part that is in focus, it's like if you hold that sheet of paper out in front of your camera with two hands and it's parallel to the camera, and now you just tilt it forwards, and that's where it's sharp in the photo.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do this, you can use this, for example, in landscape photography, where you will tilt the focal plane forward in a way that it coincides with the ground.
Okay.
So normally, without a lens like that, if you are a landscape photographer, you will often want the foreground be in focus and the middle ground and the background. You want mm-hmm. this layered appearance, and you have something interesting in the foreground and something interesting in the background. You want everything to be in focus. And the only method so far, if you want to get this in one shot, is to stop down, to go to F22 or something, and that has its own problems. You will have a longer shutter speed and other problems.
Mm-hmm.
And if you manage to tilt that focal plane forward through that landscape, like it coincides with the ground, then everything will be in focus from the front to the back while shooting wide open at f4.
But also in theory, just to back that up, you could then, let's say you're shooting a portrait of somebody, like a full-length portrait, you could shift it again and have their face be in focus and their feet be out of focus.
You can use that to kind of get something that reminds or that resembles an infinite depth of field, but you can also exaggerate that again. So mm-hmm. yes, you can overdo the depth of field thing, and for example, take a portrait of someone with only their eyes in focus, but the nose and the forehead and the hair being out of focus.
I see.
So it's really weird, and it's really hard to, that part is really difficult to explain, because you kind of have to see it to see what you can do.
But see, I've been on a photo shoot with you a few years ago, where you shot the bulk of the photos for the band for Tab 2.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you filmed there, yeah.
I filmed that, and I watched you, and we filmed you. Shooting largely with the tilt shift lens,
mm-hmm,
which true. Had a lot of portraiture with that tilt shift.
I do this all the time. Some people will tell you that's not the way to use these things. I use them handheld, which is, if you talk to, like, in air quotes, serious photographers, they will go, "Oh, you have to shoot a tilt shift lens from a tripod, and you have."
Oh,
to.
They won't come on this show.
No, they won't. It's just, no, you can use these lenses handheld. You can use them in ways that are, like, probably not how those were envisioned, but it's fun to use them this way. And, okay, so with all those things that you can do with these lenses, of course, there's a price tag somewhere, right? You don't get all this for free.
And right.
There are actually two price tags. The first price tag is a literal price tag. Those things are not cheap. You will. I think it starts with a Rokinon / Samyang version of those of the 24mm for like $700. Mm-hmm. I think that's where it kind of starts if you want to buy a new one. If you go for the Canon, if you go for the Nikons, which are called PC lenses for perspective correction. Or for the Canons, which go under TS-E lenses, they will set you back over 2,000 euros when you when you buy them new. So as a result, none of my tilt shift lenses has been bought new. They're all used. I started off with a used 24mm Canon's old version.
Mm-hmm.
Which you now can get for, I think it's starting at 300-400 euros used. It's a totally good, it's a bargain.
Right.
The newer version, the version 2, is now, used 1,200 to 1,500. So they're expensive.
Where does that extra $900 euros go?
What do you mean?
Making the leap. If you don't want to start with the old one, that's one that's, say, around 300 euros to start.
Oh, okay. The newer versions are a bit better when it comes to vignetting. Like if you shift with the old version, and I'm talking 24mm because that's the one I know best. If you shift to the extreme, then you will start to kind of see the end of the image circle sneak in on the side of the picture.
Mm-hmm.
With the new version, that doesn't happen anymore. Also, the coding is better, so you get, with a newer one, you get less lens flare. The version 1 had a few, like, lens flare issues, which were easy to clone out afterwards, but if you have the sun in the photo, mm-hmm. there was guaranteed to have a green dot on the opposite side of the picture.
Right.
Easy to take care in still photography, not as easy in video.
Sure.
But but again, I shot with that lens for years and I was happy. So there's no reason if someone wants to get started. So that's the first price tag, it's expensive. but get them used and they won't be as expensive.
And what's the second price tag?
Second price tag is, there are actually three price tags. Second price tag is they are manual focus and you have to manually expose. So you have to use manual exposure in your camera. You can't use the aperture priority mode. You have to shoot on M.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way the lenses, when you shift or tilt them, the way they change the light coming into the camera means they are the sensors in the camera just get confused.
Sure. Well, you're adding more variables.
Exactly. So the camera will get it wrong. You have to manually expose. It's easy once you wrap your head around it. But that's definitely a caveat. The manual focus is not that much of an issue because you have, like on Canon, you have the focus confirm. So if you press that focus button and you manual focus, the red LEDs in the viewfinder will blink at you the moment the lens has focus. So you can it supports your manual focus.
So you dial in, but it tells you, it basically confirms whether you're correct or not.
Exactly. It confirms like, oh, now stop. Don't stop turning. This point is in focus now.
Plus, you could use live view.
And I do this. If I shoot landscapes and I shoot those from a tripod, that's what I do. I use live view.
Mm-hmm.
And the third price tag is they take practice. They take months of practice. It's not that you buy one of these and then everything is magically different.
Yes.
It will be painful for a while. It will take time. When I first got the tilt shift lens, my first one sat on the shelf for, I don't know, almost a year.
Really?
I bought it used from an architecture photographer. The lens was badly dinged up from the outside, but the glass was good. The mechanics were good. And I played with it for a week or two and I gave up and I put it on the shelf and it's like, meh. and then that was the time when I got into film photography and into large format photography. And then I learned how to shift and tilt on a technical camera.
You know, I was speaking from my own experience. You let me try that lens and I did. It was very brief because it is intimidating at first because it's really, at first it's kind of unclear what's going on. And then I was with you on your large format workshop and watched it. And with those large format cameras, it's much easier to physically see what is happening.
Yes.
When you tilt and shift. And therefore it makes a lot more sense when you put it back into like a DSLR tilt shift lens.
Yeah.
And you should be intimidated, but understand that you can get through it, and
it's a bit of a commitment. Getting one of these lenses is you got to put you got to put yourself to it. You got to stick to it and practice with it. That's pretty much what it is.
Yes. And so, what is in your arsenal now for tilt shift in the DSLR world?
Mainly the 24 millimeter is my go-to focal length. Mm-hmm. I use that for everything, almost everything, unless it's wildlife and stuff where you need telephoto, but this is my always on lens pretty much on my full frame. So that's what I shoot with all the time. I also have the 45 millimeter tilt shift, which I use for product photography, sometimes for portraiture, because it allows you to do interesting things with focus in faces, which I like. I'm looking at the 135 from Canon right now. They've just recently announced three new tilt shift lenses.
A 135 tilt shift?
Yes. And I have played with it on the workshop. Canon had a few of them there and I did it. We did some skylines, New York skylines at night. And I tried the 135 there and I got some really interesting results. I'll send you a few pictures to link to. And the really interesting results. And I just kind of fall in love with that. I don't really know exactly yet what I will use it for, but I'm sure once I have one of those, I will probably discover a lot of things that I can do with it. But again, it's an investment. So, and those are not used on the market. They're just fresh out. So it'll take a while for me to finally take the leap.
So if any of our listeners are interested in tilt shift lenses, I highly recommend, this is my plug for you, I highly recommend taking one of Chris's workshops. Be that tilt shift or any other workshop, because what I find, the reason tilt shift can be so intimidating is if you haven't mastered everything else. Like if you're not comfortable in shooting in manual mode, adding more variables is going to be extremely intimidating.
Yeah.
So the best way to get around that is obviously to learn, get comfortable. And I've been on many of your workshops, shot a few of them, highly informative. But the best part is, in my mind, what you do is you break down these difficult concepts into basically everyday terms that people can follow along. And so far, I haven't been on any of these workshops where people haven't learned something.
That's my goal. I have only one goal for the workshop, and that is that every person who paid their good money for those workshops will at least have like two or three light bulbs going off.
Yes, and that I've seen it happen, so much so that you get repeat customers.
Yes. Oh yeah.
So, where can people go to find more info about the tilt shift and all the other workshops?
The best place is discoverthetopfloor.com.
Which we, of course, will link to.
Thank you very much.
And where to next?
You mean where I will go next?
Where are you, when you walk out that door of the Viewfinder Villa? Not today, don't tell me Etika, I don't really care.
No. I'm writing right now. I don't have travel time ahead of me for at least 2 months. I'm writing on a book. Mm-hmm. By the way, this is totally, we didn't talk about this before, but the wide angle, I've written a wide angle book, a book on wide angle only, mm-hmm. and it's just come out in English. We translated it from German to English, and it's just been released. And it has very interesting coincidence. It has a chapter on tilt shift photography in it.
Ah, okay. So, and the name of the book?
It's Wide Angle Photography.
Oh, how original. Yeah.
And you can get it on the usual places.
Can you get it on Amazon?
Of course.
All right, click through our site. When you're doing that, click through our site, help us. It's a win-win.
I'll give you a link so you can put that in the show notes. So next is writing for another book. I will go to Ireland in end of August. I'll go to Lofoten in Norway mid September. I'll go to Morocco mid October, and then I have some time off from travel again. And then in February I'll go back to the Arctic on a ship. In the Arctic northern Norwegian fjord landscapes.
Like I said, no flies on you, Chris Marquardt. All right, be sure to follow Chris on all of his social media. You can find it. Google will help you out.
My name is all over the place. Yes.
follow him and see all his Arctic and the rest of the world adventures. Chris, thanks a lot for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
And we're back.
Yes.
What do you prefer, tilting or shifting?
I prefer to tilt and to shift.
Ooh, the tift. Yeah, me too.
It's like when I go to a buffet. If some is good, then more is better.
I don't go to buffets anymore.
Neither do I.
Do
just
you?
Just a good comparison.
I don't even do all you can eat sushi anymore.
No, neither do I.
Although I don't have to win. I don't win. Nobody wins.
Yeah, it's true.
I am like, yeah, great. I ate $3 more than you wanted me to, but I've been, I'm sick for 2 days. Who wins? Who wins that one?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
We'll call it a draw, man. Just get as much sushi as you care to eat, and it turns out to be the same price. That's how it works.
Right.
Photo challenge for next week. I don't have one. You did colorful. Can you go to the well twice in a row?
Oh, that's challenging. Do you have 5 minutes to wait while I, rack my brain?
5 minutes, man. You're going deep on that.
Yeah, I really...
I'm really thinking of, what do you got coming up? How about sports? Sports was supposed to be today, and then it got canceled, so no.
Yeah, and it's rescheduled to next week, so yeah. I won't get it in time.
Okay.
The weather's really crappy here, so that doesn't help me in any way. How about photo booth? I can do that.
Yeah, all right.
No?
I guess. I try to think of, you know, doing things outdoors, but
fine. I'm not going to have outdoors. Or how about like dress up? You can do something dress up.
Let's do dress up.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
We've never done that. This could be fun.
Well, probably not, but I'm not saying it won't. Just probably not.
Yeah, I'm going to have to talk one of my children or possibly my wife. And if all else fails, it'll be me diving into the tickle trunk to get out a fun outfit.
Oh, no, it's going to be me doing a selfie. I'm definitely going to have, fake glasses on or something.
Okay. All right.
It's going to be me. It'll be a selfie. No question.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And a reminder, the challenge for the month of June is postcard. Preferably of your own town. That's what we're looking for, but doesn't have to be. Postcard okay. is the monthly challenge. Hashtag that, Two Hosers Monthly Challenge, or Hey Hosers on Instagram, and we will check that out. Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
And you can find mine at AlanAtridge.com or the two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week. Get out there and make better photos.